Good morning. Welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about an old railroad that used to run through our county. It was called the Rhiney B. Joining me will be a fellow that's from Jessamine County, knows a lot about our history. His name is George Dean. We'll talk to George about the Rhiney B right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
There's nothing inconvenient about someone writing you a check to say thank you, congratulations, or happy birthday. Except that you'll probably hold that check for about a week until you find time to put it in the bank. Thanks to Citizens National Bank in Nicholasville, their new mobile deposit feature allows you to simply log into their mobile banking app, take a picture of your check, and have it deposited into your account. You never have to find time to drive to the bank, which gives you more time to spend your extra money. Citizens National Bank is conveniently located in the Keene Center in Nicholasville. Citizens National Bank, moving forward together. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about our county, people, places, and things. Today we're going to learn about a thing. We used to have a train that ran in our county several years ago, and we're going to talk all about it with a fellow who is from Jessamine County and knows quite a bit about some things in Jessamine County because he was involved in some of the projects from the old jail on Main Street to High Bridge to Valley View. He's kind of been around a lot of different places, and his name is George Dean. Good morning, George.
Morning, Doug.
Glad to have you, and appreciate you coming in as we talk about the Rhiney B. Now, there may be people in our county who might recognize the Rhiney B only because that's the name of the park where the aquatic center is. They may not realize the rest of the story. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. The Rhiney B Railroad. First off, the thing I want to ask you about, if you look at a lot of these old railroads throughout the country, they go by initials. They have these initials that they use. Well, it just happened that this particular railroad, the initials were R-N-I-B. And when they said it, it sounded like Rhiney B, and that's where the name came from. What did those letters stand for?
Those letters stood for the Richmond, Irvin, Nicholasville, and Beattyville Railroad.
So they were the names of the town in which they originated or ran through, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
The original railroad was, those towns were incorporated as part of the railroad. Investors from those communities to build this rail line.
Yeah.
But the original section that first constructed and built was from Richmond to Nicholasville and on beyond to Versailles.
So it started in Richmond.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they built the rail from Irvin to Richmond.
Okay.
And then they started expanding eastward.
The other way to Beattyville.
Yes.
All right. Beattyville. So it kind of went west, and then it went back east.
Yeah.
Okay. When would that have been?
1888 is when it started construction.
Oh, so we're looking at a long time ago. All right. So let's just kind of go from the start. They decided they needed to build this train, I guess, or this train line, mm-hmm. if you will. Started in Richmond, came to Nicholasville, went back the other way to Berea to Irvin and to Beattyville. And that would have been, you said, 1890. Now, did it run through the entire county of Jessamine? I mean, I know we're going to talk in a little bit about maybe particular areas, but did it go from like one end of the county across to the other? How did that run?
It entered into Jessamine County at Valley View.
Okay.
And then it exited the county over near Pickard.
Okay. All right. So across from east to west.
Yes.
Now, it had to cross the river at Valley View, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, along the entire route, there were two major bridges across the river, one in Irvin and one in Valley View.
Okay. Now, do either one of those still stand?
No. The only remnants are the two piers you can see if you cross the Valley View Ferry today.
So, that's interesting. So, and there's another whole story about something in our county, the Valley View Ferry. If someone were to go down there to ride the ferry, whether it's going to Richmond or back across, let's go from the Jessamine County side. We get our car on the ferry. We're going across toward Richmond. You look to the right. Is that right down the river?
Yes.
And there's two trestles that stand?
There are two piers.
Oh, piers.
That supported the bridge.
Okay. And they're still there?
Yes.
Okay. Does one of them have a tree growing on it?
Yes, it does.
From on the top?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's all that's left, I guess, of this entire railroad? Is that in our county?
No, there's a lot of remnants of the rail line throughout the county.
Okay.
If you know where to look.
Okay, that's the important thing. I mentioned in one of our programs that we had just recently, I was talking to David Thomas about his mom and the restaurant she used to have. And, of course, they were all raised up on Old Railroad Lane, which is out on Union Mill, past where I grew up. Was that road part of the track?
Yes, if you want to get a feel for what the Rainy Bee looked like and how wide the road was, the rail line itself was, go to Logana Road and turn, depending on which direction you're coming, and come off of Union Mill towards Logana.
Right.
And if you turn right on at Old Railroad Lane, you can travel from the railroad lane. About half of that road is the rail bed.
The actual bed was
the actual bed.
The
yes.
And I've often told people that if, especially in the spring or the fall, if you want one of the most beautiful sights, I think, in our county, is that stretch where the trees line the road. And you can tell. It's very obvious that you are on that path because you got these big fields on either side that are kind of down in the way a little bit. You got these trees that go down through there. So the rail train actually traveled up through there.
Yes.
And so I guess at some point in time, when the county decided to build a road, they just used that and asphalted over. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And today, if you're driving down a rail bed today, you hope you don't meet a car.
That's right.
There is no place to pass.
No, there's not. In fact, it hasn't been too awful long ago that I went across there, and I think my youngest daughter was with me, and she asked, what would happen if there was a car coming the other way? And I said, well, somebody's going to have to back up. One way or the other, somebody's going to have to. Because you're right, there is no way. And, of course, back then, they didn't need to worry about that. The train just needed to go one way, and that was it. Would it have traveled both ways, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Another interesting thing about that little section of rail line, from Logana to what is today Bethany Road, where the subdivision there now called Rainy Bee Way is one of the streets. That section of rail line, there was a station at Logana, and there was a station at Bethany Road called the Perry Station. But in between there was another railroad stop. It was called Lavinia's.
So this is between Logana and Bethany. There was three stations in that short period there.
Yes.
Why was there one at Lavinia?
Well, Lavinia is where David Thomas lives today.
Okay.
Where the train stop was. And the lady who owned that land at the time, in her negotiation with the railroad, required the railroad to put in a platform, a boarding platform for her. Anytime she wanted to stop the train, she would be there and catch the train.
And only for her.
And only for her.
which probably they didn't do a whole lot for people, but I guess it's the only way they could get through there.
Yeah, but Lavinia is marked on the rail line, is marked as a stop.
I'm assuming that was her name.
Lavinia Daniels.
Wow. So they just, if they're coming down the track and she happened to be out there waving, they knew that it was either we got to stop. Otherwise, they just kept on going.
Yes.
Man, when this first all came about, George, was the train built specifically to haul passengers or product or both or what?
Both, freight and passenger.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a lifeline to the Eastern Kentucky, be able to get to Frankfort.
Yeah.
And even beyond to Louisville. But one of the primary commodities was lumber, timber.
Uh-huh.
And timber to the mills, or sawmills of Irvin and sawmills of Valley View, hauling raw logs and timber to then hauling the finished products out to different places. And at the same point in time, there's a lot of distilleries being built down in Frankfort at the end of the rail line.
Yeah.
And that was creating a big boom for finished products, lumber, and even barrel staves. And Valley View had a couple of sawmills in Valley View, and that was one of the major products they produced were barrel staves for whiskey barrels.
In Frankfort and around that area.
Yes.
You mentioned the stations. Let's see if we can figure out, or you tell me, because I know you know, how many different stations there were just in our county. Now, you said there was one at Valley View, correct?
There's one on the Madison County side. It was a pretty good-sized station there.
Okay.
And then from there, across the ridge, it would stop at Camp Daniel Boone.
Okay.
Camp Daniel Boone was there active, especially during the summer months and whatever else.
Yeah.
But there was a station there at the campground, or close to it, And also, it was at the end of what's today Camp Daniel Boone Road.
Right.
And that road went up the hill and connected with Newman Road.
Okay.
So Spears also accessed that depot there. And from there, it crossed two trestles, high iron trestles, over 100 feet high. One across Marble Creek, 700 some feet long. One across Neal's Brink was 500 some feet long. And then it went through a 253-foot long tunnel. From there, it traveled about a mile to Logana, and that was the next station. From Logana, there was Lavinia, and there was Perry Station.
On Bethany.
On Bethany.
Yeah.
And then there was a Nicholasville main station.
So from Bethany, that was the next stop, was Nicholasville.
Yes. It's right up here by City Hall, on the corner of Stratton Avenue.
Yeah. Okay, well, and folks, of course, City's got all kinds of buildings. This is one across from the police station.
Yes.
Everybody knows there, next to the big smokestack.
Yes.
Now, where did it go from there?
Well, from there, it crossed, it went on down towards the end of Stratton Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Then it crossed the Southern Railroad. And at that point, there was a junction, and there was a switch tire there.
Mm-hmm.
And the switchman was there to switch the tracks, whichever way it was. The train's coming down the southern, north-south bound on Southern Railroad. And then the east-west on Florianie V.
So it crossed Main Street. The railroad actually crossed Main?
Yes.
We're at that point up there. There was tracks across. So it's kind of like being down in Wilmore. It is now. Wilmore, at some point in time during the day, you may have to sit in your car and wait for the train to come through Main Street. Mm-hmm. Same way here.
Yes.
At one point.
The tracks, if you turn them beside the fire station.
Yeah.
To go back to their maintenance garage behind the fire station.
Right.
That was where the tracks were.
Really?
That's exactly where it was.
Which means it would have come across the... behind the cemetery, Maple Grove, back in that area, mm-hmm. they've got with between Lake and the cemetery. Interesting. All right, so we go from there. Now you told me that we went on over the switch station was where we were. It's with
the junction.
Yeah.
The Nicholasville Ryanby Junction.
And then it went from there.
Now from there, where Ryanby Park is today.
Yeah.
If you go to Ryanby Park, you have on your as you go into Ryanby Park, on your left-hand side, you have the Southern Railroad.
Right.
The right-hand boundary of the park is the Ryanby Rail Bed. And there is a walking path there today.
Yeah.
And you can park at the St. Joe Hospital and access that path, and it goes down and follows the rail line for about a mile, actually, by the time you walk it.
All right.
And also, if you go in Ryanby Park, you also see a train display there. An old 1925 Baldwin locomotive, which is the same era as Ryanby B trains were. And so this is why, you know, the park was named Ryanby B Park, and then we got an opportunity to acquire these trains.
Uh-huh.
And that was back in 2010. That's a whole different story, too.
Yeah.
So we thought that would be a nice static display for the park. And it ties into the history of the park and the history of the railroad.
Did it go on across through Keene?
From there, across the bypass, just right close to where Southern States is today. And then went through the back part of the Bell Place subdivision. And then went on through the William Arvin's farm.
Uh-huh.
And there was another one of those type of stations, like Lavinia's. It was a Shanklin. And it was just a private individual. Gave land right away for the train.
As long as they got to stop there.
Yeah, they had to stop. Called Shanklin.
Wow.
There was no community there or anything.
Yeah, just them.
And then the next community was Neilton.
I've heard of Neilton School. I remember that.
There was a schoolhouse in Neilton, mm-hmm. and that was on the Almahurst farm.
Mm-hmm.
And Almahurst was a pretty big farming operation, agricultural operation, and enterprise there.
Right.
Racehorses, things that they needed to ship it, feed in and out. And
now, for our new listeners, that's corner 169 and 68. Right there is where Almahurst, its heyday, it was huge, and that's where we were talking about now. Okay, so you got me to Harrodsburg Road now.
Now, from Neilton, it went on to Keene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the depot of Keene was actually about a half mile north of the downtown Keene,
as you call it,
a four-way stop.
Let's see, it would have been... I got to get my directions straight here. I guess going out toward Mount Pleasant?
Yes.
Yeah, the church, Mount Pleasant Church.
Now, there's a remnant of the rail line there beside the Mount Lebanon Church. On the north side of Mount Lebanon Church, you'll see a little private driveway.
Yeah.
And that goes back into a farm. And there's another couple of remnants back in there that people don't know exist. There are two section houses on that farm that were original section houses for the workers of the railroad that maintained sections of track.
Really? So I guess those were located ever so often along the whole length of the track.
Yes.
These little houses for the workers.
Yes.
Interesting. Are those the only two we know that are in existence?
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And then the depot itself was right there on the left-hand side of the driveway if you turn off of the of the King South Elkhorn Road into that drive.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, I guess it went on over into
Woodford. From there, it went up to towards Pinkard. And Pinkard, I believe that was the next stop.
Now, did it go on from there eventually?
Well, it went on from Pinkard to Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, if you want to see one of the original train depots, the Railroad Museum, they have Nostalgia Station, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a side street in Versailles. That was the original Ryan B. Depot.
Wow.
In Versailles.
That's the original one?
Yes. Yeah. Now, there are two depots in Versailles. There's
right.
also the restaurant there on the
right.
Main Street.
Right. Used to be across the Catholic school there, across the catty corner, next to McCray's Feed, I guess it was.
Yeah, Macaulay's. Yeah.
Macaulay's, yeah.
Yeah, but then just over the hill, past Macaulay Feed at the bottom of the hill, there's the other depot.
Yeah. And now, one thing we was talking about Versailles, and that brings up another thing, is they had named... They named this train, if you will, and these cars. Now, first off, was this a long way? If you got on the Rhiney B, was this a big, long train that went forever and ever, or was it short? What did it consist of?
Let me read to you a little description of the first train.
Yeah.
The arrival of the first regular train between Louisville and Richmond over the Rhiney B Railroad was reported by Courier-Journal on October 5th, 1890. The article stated that the initiation of this railroad service gives every promise of being of more real benefit to Louisville than any other line built here in years. The handsome yellow train was hailed and cheered at every station, and a run of 104 miles was made in just 5 hours through some of the most rugged and beautiful scenery in Kentucky. The article further describes the train as being pulled by a handsome locomotive named the Woodford. The remainder of the train consisted of four of the most attractive coaches running out of Louisville. They were the Jessamine, the Madison, and the Estill, named in honor of the county through which the road passes.
So the main engine was the Woodford,
yes.
And then the three cars behind it were the Jessamine, named after the counties they went through. Jessamine,
yes.
Estill. That's interesting. They came up with that. Now, but you go on.
Well, the fourth car was a combination of smoking, baggage, and express car, complete with and handsome in every appointment. The coaches were painted bright canary yellow. At the top of each side were the words Kentucky River Route, and in smaller letters at either end, R&I and B and Company. The interior furnishings of the coaches were very elaborate and handsome, and the cars have no lights and better ventilation, perhaps, than any other line in the state. That was from the Courier-Journal, 1890.
I don't know that I've ever seen a canary yellow train. Well, that's kind of... To me, it's kind of odd. I guess I just think, you know, big. Your engine is black and everything's red for some reason.
This was in the heyday of railroading, and I think the railroads wanted to be very visible and compete in their colors. And
you mentioned that the construction started in 1888. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And I was interested in some of the information that you afforded me here, too. The bridge was in 1890. The bridge at Valley View. So I have, I guess they started the line in Richmond, and it took them 2 years before they could even get across the river.
Yes.
Is there any remnants of the rails anywhere, or are they just all
gone? No, they were all taken for scrap salvage during World War II.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Yeah. All right. Incidentally, another interesting sidelight. After the rail line was abandoned in 1932, the rails were taken up, but the bridge remained until 1942. And then, during the World War II scrap drives, there was a contest in Jessamine County amongst the schools for whichever school could collect the most scrap.
Okay.
There's a local scrap collector here in Nicholsville called Bill Floyd.
Who we did a program on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Floyd made a deal with the railroad to salvage steel out of that bridge, to demolish the bridge, and also gave credit for the scrap to the school at Spears.
Okay. So they won.
They won, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely, they won. That's interesting. And of course, that time, George, I guess, would have been around the same time that we saw the iron fence around the courthouse disappear and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that went by the wayside for the efforts of the war.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I guess, in fact, as far as I know, and I'm sure there's others, but the one I know about that survived that old iron fencing is that section in front of where Sharon Reynolds lived on Maple Street, and Bill, of course, still lives there. But I don't know that there's too much more around. In fact, and this has been a discussion on our Facebook page, the cannon that used to sit in the courthouse yard, did it disappear during that time?
Yes, I believe it went for scrap as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, back to the railroad. You talked about some of these crossings, and it just amazed me because I just don't think about it. Some of these trestles that they had to travel. Marble Creek, as you mentioned, 770 feet long, over 100 feet high. I mean, I don't know why in my mind, but I just never thought about ever having to be that big.
Those trestles, if you look at pictures of those trestles today, as a matter of fact, your father did a print of of the one on Neal's Branch.
Yeah.
They're scary to think about. If the people riding that train saw what they were going over from the ground looking up, they might not be riding that train.
Yeah, and because all they were riding on was just two rails. And I mean, and if you look, and you've got a picture here. Now, this is the bad part about radio. Well, it's not this one. But there was one picture that I've seen. Yeah, that there. But then there was another photograph that I saw, and I don't remember where it was. But, yeah, you're right. When you look at that, how would you describe it in comparison to the current track across the river at High Bridge?
It looked like, I'd say, every 50 to 75 feet, there was a pair of legs coming up.
Uh-huh.
Nothing more than probably three angle or something like that with lattice going up, supporting the steel deck.
Wow.
Which in turn supported the cross ties of the train.
Wouldn't pass code today, would it?
I doubt it, very seriously.
All right, so we've gotten to Versailles, and now you told me that this thing went on because Louisville, it got all the way up to Louisville. They're just going crazy about it in their article because of not only the way it looks, but the efficiency, folks. And I mean, remember, we went how many miles of 104 miles in 5 hours? It doesn't sound like much, but it is when you're on a train and you're not used to doing that. So this thing was in its heyday, just doing all this stuff, taking people back and forth, taking products back and forth, but it ended. What happened to the Rhino B to make it end?
Well, what had happened is, first of all, I guess to talk about the transgression of ownership, Rhino B was only in existence for about 12 years.
Yeah.
1902, it became the L&A, Louisville Atlantic Railroad.
Okay.
Because they've run into some financial problems during the construction, the cost of maintaining and getting started and everything else. So then it became the L&A, and L&A in turn was not able to sustain the financial ability to maintain the railroad. So the L&N purchased the rail line in 1909. And of course, the L&N, Louisville National, was a major railroad, a very profitable railroad. After the L&N took over ownership, they already had rail lines established in Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
So they began building a line from Irvin to Winchester. And because the Rhino B was a very winding, wandering rail that followed the river, this was a more direct route from Irvin straight to Winchester. And from Winchester, it served Lexington. And then they had a line from Lexington all the way to Louisville, which is a more direct route as well.
So it was a shorter, because of that, it made for a shorter trip, more efficient trip.
Yeah.
So that made it more efficient, and they started using it more than they did the other one.
They started using that line more than did the river route.
Yeah.
And over time, traffic declined on the river route.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was hauling passengers and freight, somewhat limited, but they were still operating.
Mm-hmm.
But then it became unprofitable to operate, but they were still struggling until 1932. And just close to the Marble Creek Tunnel, there was a heavy storm that washed out a wooden trestle. And once that trestle washed out, then they decided not to repair it.
That was it.
And just go ahead and close the line.
And, of course, something else happened. You're talking about the late teens or the late 1909 and 10 and all in through there with declining passenger cars. Had to have an effect too, because vehicles came to town with Model T's and everything else. They started showing up, so I'm sure that declined their passenger sales to some extent for far trips. You know, people just drove to Lexington or Louisville or wherever they need to go then.
Yeah, the automobile was a killer for not only trains, riverboats as well.
Yeah,
the riverboats were still operating quite a bit coming up the Kentucky River Valley View.
Yeah.
And High Bridge was a big destination point. Well, of course, if cars came along and people were driving to High Bridge, then the river route began to suffer as well as the railroads.
You know, in our lifetime, George, we probably, without thinking about it, but subconsciously may have thought that we'll always be using Polaroid cameras, we'll always be using those kind of things. Who would have ever thought that instead of a camera and a watch, you just carry a phone that did it all? And I'm sure the same thing went through these people's minds. Well, there will always be boats and trains. They never thought about the fact that cars are going to come along and affect them. And it's that way with a lot of things in our world. You take advantage of what you have and you think it'll be around forever until the next best thing comes out and kind of makes those things go to the wayside. Trains are still an important part in our country, just not to the extent that they used to be. The old ride through the countryside, as you were talking about, old railroad lane, I guess that's kind of gone by the wayside, other than maybe for a tourist attraction or things like that. And of course, I guess the trains that do operate for passengers and long travel are your Amtraks, things like that are just super trains. But I don't know that I guess it's not profitable other than just for a tourist attraction, right?
No, because that's what the engine that we inherited from at the Ryan B. Park.
Yeah.
That was originally purchased back in the mid to late 80s by a group in Paris to operate an excursion from Paris to Maysville.
Okay.
It was a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, railroads themselves, the railroad companies, mm-hmm. Because they own the tracks, and liability has hurt a lot of things in this country. The liability of those rail lines was a concern for the owners.
Yeah.
And therefore, they got to the point where they said, no, we don't want anybody's cars operating on our tracks except our cars.
Right. You mentioned the tunnel down at where? Marble Creek, down in that area?
Yeah, between there? Yes.
Is it accessible to people, or is it privately owned?
It's privately owned. It's pretty remote to get to it.
Yeah. And you say how long? It's 200-something feet, you said.
253 feet.
Wow. Now, the tracks are gone out of that, too.
Yes.
So, basically, it's just a tunnel that you would walk through at this point in time, I guess. Mm-hmm. Home to a lot of animals, I'm sure.
Right.
Do we know if there's anybody in our county today that would have ridden that train? Do we have anybody, survivors, that's still around that you know of?
No, off the top of my head, no, I do not.
You would have to be...
There may be a few.
Maybe, but I mean, they're up there.
Yeah.
And they would have ridden the train as small children.
Yes.
But I'm sure along the way, you've known people who rode that train.
Oh, yes. And one of those, and this is the reason why I have interest in it, is hearing stories from my grandmother. Because she lived here in Nicholsville on First Street. But in 1900, she was traveling from here to Richmond to go to school to become a teacher.
And she took the train.
And she took the train.
You have any idea what it would have cost?
No, I don't.
Couldn't have been much. Wow. Did she ride it every day? Back and forth?
Many days a week.
Yeah.
I don't know what her class schedule was.
That's another part of our history that it's just kind of even hard to imagine. just because, you know, we're not used to seeing that kind of thing around here. But it's an important part of our history. And people, if you ever go into the Aquatic Center and see that sign and it says Rhiney B, you understand now where it all came from and why it was called that and where it traveled to. The trains were an important part of a lot of people's history, not just Jessamine County, but it's very interesting that we would be part of that, the Rhiney B history, and a lot of people traveled through Jessamine County on their way back and forth from Richmond or Irvin or Beattyville or Port, even, I guess, heck, they'd drive anywhere in the eastern part of the Kentucky, go to Beattyville, get on the train, go up to Louisville. So there's a lot of traffic coming through our way at one point. Well, George, our time's up, but I appreciate you coming in and giving us this history. This is good. I'm glad to know we've got somebody here that knows it like you do. We need to get together and do some shows on some other things you've been involved with.
Thank you for inviting me, because it's been a pleasure to be here. Yeah.
My thanks to George for coming in this morning and sharing information about the Rhiney B. I appreciate you coming in also for All Things Jessamine. We do it every Saturday at 11. We'll do it next week as well. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning to get you up and going on my regular show from 6 to 8 a.m. on Jess FM 105.9.
There's nothing inconvenient about someone writing you a check to say thank you, congratulations, or happy birthday, except that you'll probably hold that check for about a week until you find time to put it in the bank. Thanks to Citizens National Bank in Nicholasville, their new mobile deposit feature allows you to simply log into their mobile banking app, take a picture of your check, and have it deposited into your account. You never have to find time to drive to the bank, which gives you more time to spend your extra money. Citizens National Bank is conveniently located in the Keene Center in Nicholasville. Citizens National Bank, moving forward together. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.